Well, good morning, church family. It's so good to be here with you guys this morning. I just want to say a quick thank you to everyone that reached out to me and Becca this week, checking in on us. We have family in Florida. If you didn't know, there's a pretty nasty hurricane that just hit Florida and really all the South. And so luckily, where most of our family lives is inland, so they weren't severely affected. But I felt like maybe this morning we could just pause real quick and just pray for the South. One of the areas that Becca and I really love, we honeymoon there, we spread my dad's ashes, it's called Cedar Key, and it's pretty much unrecognizable. Pretty much the entire town's destroyed, so about 700 residents live there, call it home, work there. So I just felt like maybe at the start of this morning, let's just pray and just ask God. Father, what a horrible situation for so many people in the South right now. Lord, from Florida to Georgia to South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee, Lord, we just ask that your hands would be over those people, those that are displaced, that maybe today woke up to not having a home. Lord, would you send people into their path to bless them and to be with them? Lord, would you send recovery crews to get those areas back up to where they need to be? Jesus, we love you. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, we're in this series called All In, and if you've been here for a number of weeks, you know we've been talking on what does it mean to be all in with our mission statement of enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. And if you've missed any part of this series, I would encourage you maybe to go back to our YouTube channel. All the messages are there. I really feel like this is a vital series for our church family as we learn about what does it mean to be all in, these three commitments to each other. And these are some six shared practices that we've been talking about. They're on the screen for you. The first week, we talked about daily time with God and the importance of spending time with the Father and dwelling in his word and being with him. The next one was weekend worship together. We talked about the importance of gathering in this place and worshiping Jesus together and hearing the word be broke before us. And then week three, Pastor Jeremy did an incredible job talking about small group community and the value here at Mount Joy Mennonite of gathering together in circles rather than rows. And I would encourage you, if you're not plugged into a small group, fill out a connection card. There's still groups open. You can get plugged into those. And then we talked about serving in love. What does it mean that when we serve each other with our gifting through love? And what does that look like as a church family? And then week five, last week, Pastor Joel talked about generosity by giving and challenged us as a church family to look at our finances and how is generosity flowing through our life? And then today, I want to talk on going to our neighbors and nations. And as Pastor Joel read for us in Acts, there's this right at the start of this beautiful book in the Bible, Jesus commissions his church to go. He says, listen, it's not just for you to hold on to and kind of keep it to yourselves. I'm challenging you to go to Jerusalem, to Samaria and Judea, and all the way to the ends of the earth. Similar to what Jesus challenged his disciples at the end of Matthew 28, where he says, now, therefore, go and make disciples. Right, this is the command of Jesus to the early church. And we see this model from Jesus where he asked the church to go into all these different areas. And if we have the slide, I want to show you this just to kind of visualize it. So Jerusalem was the epicenter, right? This is where Jesus was. This is where he came. It's this place where the gospel was initially preached. And so I like to say Jerusalem was represented maybe people who are close and similar. They're close but similar. And for our context today, I would say this would maybe represent Mount Joy, our town we live in, the 1 mile radius. There's people in this area who maybe are similar to us and are on a faith journey or maybe looking for something deeper and desiring something deeper. And then we have the next layer, which was Judea and Samaria. These are close but different, These were people, if you know anything about the Samaritans, Samaritans and Jews didn't really like each other. There was a cultural kind of barrier there. So these were people that were close to Jerusalem, but very distinctly different. And I would just say, these are people in our area that would be in the Lancaster, Mount Joy area, but they are so different. Maybe they're not believers. Maybe they've been hurt by the church. Maybe they believe something different. And that final layer there that Jesus challenges the church is the ends of the earth. These are people far from us. These are other nations. This is when we go on trips, you know, we have missionaries right now, Amy and Pat Malay are over in India and in that nation. And so there's places where we go to the ends of the earth. And I think Jesus has this model for a reason, because he says this kind of stretches you out to go to all places. All places. Jerusalem, close but similar. Judea and Samaria, close but different. Ends of the earth, far from me. I want to ask this question to you. Have you ever been asked to go somewhere and it turns out to be a longer journey than you expected? Have you ever been asked to go somewhere? Maybe you're tagging along with someone and you're going. This summer, Becca and Jude and myself went to Oregon to visit my sister and brother-in-law. And it was our last full day there, and my sister says, "Hey, I really want to show you guys this beautiful waterfall. There's like a suspension bridge. It's just really cool thing." And so we were pretty tired from the week. We had a full week of just every day doing stuff. And we're like, "All right, like how long of a hike is it?" She's like, "Oh, it's no big deal. It's maybe, you know, like a 5-minute hike. Not a big deal, right?" And so I was like, "Sweet, let's do it. I love waterfalls. I love suspension bridges. Let's go." So as we're driving there, the first warning sign for me was the fact that it took us about 45 minutes to get to the waterfall going up this mountain pass. And she got lost along the way. And so I was like, "Heather, like, we're lost. Like, do you even know where we're going?" She's like, "I think so." And then like Becca's in the back, like, "Come on, guys. Like, I want to go shopping. What are we doing?" Like, Becca's not like into hiking that much. And so she hadn't even come ready to hike. In fact, she looked like she should be on like a Paris runway modeling some dress. Like, she was in a dress. Like, I don't know what she was thinking. And so here we are going up this mountain, and we finally get to the location. And my sister's like, "Oh, this doesn't look really that familiar." And I'm like, "What do you mean? You're the one that knows this place. What do you mean?" So we start on this hike, and another warning sign should have been to me that it was nothing but decline, right? So if you know anything about hiking in the mountains, you know that usually you have to go down to get to wherever you're going, and then you have to come back up. So we're hiking, and as we're hiking, we start seeing a few people on the trail, and we're like, "Hey, you know, how close is the waterfall?" And they're like, "Oh, you still got a while." And we're like, "What?" Like, I looked at my sister. I was like, "Heather, you said 5 minutes. I am in Birkenstock slides. I am not ready for a hike like this." And so we finally get to like this one part. It's swampy and mucky. Meanwhile, Becca's in this flowy dress, and people are commenting her along the trail. They're probably thinking, "What are these people doing?" People are in full hiking gear, by the way. 5 miles in, we get to the location. We have a picture to show you. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous, right? This doesn't even do it justice, like this beautiful suspension bridge over this gorge, and then that water just shooting right out of the rock. It was a picture worth taking, but how many know we had to go back another 5 miles? I tell you this story because I feel like sometimes we don't, in our faith journey, we don't evaluate what it means to go to others, and so we start asking questions like this. Will I have time for this? Will I have time to share my faith? I don't know if I have time to talk to my coworker about Jesus. Well, man, I don't know about my neighbor. Like, I think they know about Jesus, or maybe they don't. Another question we might ask is, will this put me outside my comfort zone? I love to hike, by the way. This put me outside my comfort zone. Jude was crying. I was carrying him. My sister, when she gets upset, she gets belligerent. So she was gone. We didn't even know where she went. She was gone. She was in the car, in AC, and meanwhile, we're still, like, struggling, right? It put us outside of our comfort zone. Sharing our faith and blessing our neighbors puts us outside our comfort zone. It just does. I don't care how extroverted you are. There's something about sharing our faith that sometimes we feel like we're not qualified, like we need a theological degree to share our faith. No. Jesus commissioned fishermen. to go and build the church, the early church. And so for us, I just want to say, if you love Jesus, you are qualified to bless our neighbors, to share your faith. Another question I think that we ask is, will this affect my personal life? We're so about like our own bubble and protecting our own bubble. And as we should, I think, listen, if you're just constantly pouring out of yourself and you're tired and you're maybe taking away time from your family, that's an issue. You need to reevaluate. But I think sometimes we're so concerned with our own life that we forget there is people right around us who are dying and going to hell, and we have the solution. We have the answer. We have the hope of glory, the one that we sang about in the first psalm, the coming king. We have him living on the inside of us, and he so desperately wants to encounter people with his love. I just want to say this, and this isn't to hurt anyone's feelings, but Jesus is not concerned with your comfort zone. He is not concerned with whether you feel like sharing it. He says you are commissioned to go. And this is the best part. He doesn't just commission you as a kind of a king who sits in the background and says, just go do my bidding. He commissions you with the promise that he will go with you. And that's beautiful. For someone like me who is not extroverted, I am introverted all the way. It is a good reminder for me that when I go and share the good news, when I bless my neighbors, I go with the promise of God's Spirit living in me, speaking through me, sharing through me. If I would just put myself out there, if you're taking notes, write this down. My one and only point this morning is this. We bless our neighbors by going to all people. We bless our neighbors by going to all people. That means that there's not some people who deserve Jesus and some who don't. It means all people. Jesus hung on that cross and died for all people. And as believers in his, in him and in his kingdom, we now have the ability to go and say, listen, I'm going to preach to all people. It doesn't matter if they like me, if they don't like me, if they're atheist, if they're agnostic, if they believe in witchcraft, whatever. I'm going to go to them with the good news. Because the good news is the life source. It's the thing that when someone's trapped, that reaches down and helps them out of it. And so the question I want to challenge us with this morning, ask us as a church family, is how can we be a church that lives out this value of blessing others? How can we be a church that lives out this blessing of blessing others? And if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one is that we would see this, the close to me, but who are not, but who are like me. So this is the Jerusalem. This is the epicenter. Right? This is where Pastor Joel says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That word witness, I had to look it up because I obviously know what witness means, but I wanted to see what the different translations kind of say with that word. And witness specifically means eyewitness. So these were people that had physically with their own eyes seen Jesus resurrect. And for today, obviously, most of us in here didn't get to see that moment 3,000 years ago, but we are eyewitnesses of the good news of Jesus because of the resurrection life in us. And so Jesus, just like he's challenging the church here to go into these parts, he also is saying to you, if you're a believer in his son, God has commissioned you to go with the good news to people who are like you, close to you. And maybe as I was thinking about this close to me, who are like me, I remember there was a season in our church in Florida where we saw like a really big influx of people who were believers but were desiring something deeper. So these were people who maybe had found Jesus at like a more seeker-friendly style church, and their lives were changed. They got baptized there, and now we're desiring something a little deeper. And we started saying, like, we don't want to pull people from other churches. That's not our goal. And so we started asking these people, hey, like, what drew you here? And they said, hey, we really just are desiring something deeper. Maybe there's people in your life today who are believers and would say, you know, hey, I go to church once in a while, but I'm desiring community. Can I just applaud us? Mountjoy Mennonite, like, this church does community so well. The loving atmosphere that goes on every Sunday morning and any time we gather and with pioneer clubs, with youth group, like, man, there is a contagious spirit here that I think there's people in Mount Joy and within the 1 mile radius, within our Jerusalem, who are desiring that. But it's going to take us saying, hey, I got to step out of my comfort zone. I got to step out of what I feel to be able to reach them. Jesus called the early church to go to that center, to build in Jerusalem. These were people, obviously, that were probably, they grew up knowing what it meant, knowing the Torah. These were people that followed maybe the law, but they didn't know Jesus. And so now these disciples had the opportunity to go to the epicenter and to start something contagious. In our context today, I think he's asking us as a church family to go to the 1 mile radius. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had the community fall picnic. What a great opportunity to invite those in our community to come on this campus to see who we are as Mennonites, to see who we are as a church. I think that's beautiful. I just want to say this again. This is by no means to draw people from other churches. That's not our goal. Our goal is to get people who don't know Jesus. But I think there's people on their faith journey who are desiring something deeper, more discipleship, more community, close to me who are like me. Number two, is near me, but who are not like me. This is the Judea and Samaria. These are the people, but it says, but you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Judea and Samaria are the people that are close to us but are not like us. These are people that I would say are far from Jesus. These are people that maybe they grew up in church and were jaded by the church, and so now they've walked away from the church, or maybe they've never known the name of Jesus. As hard as that is to say in America, I think there's people that don't know who Jesus is. A couple weeks ago, Becca and I went to a country concert at Hershey, and we were there, and we parked and we got out of our car, and the first thing I started noticing was just how different people were. Like, I was like, wow, these people are dressed different, they look different, they talk different. Obviously, there's some brokenness, and the question I felt like the Holy Spirit just kept tugging on my heart all night long was, would these people tonight, if all of a sudden they made a decision to follow Jesus, would they be welcome in your church? And as a pastor, I had to ask myself, man, there's some people that look rough. They look rough around the edges. They probably don't know culture in the church. When they walk through these doors, they might have tattoos and piercings and wear clothes that some of us in this room would make us uncomfortable. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit was more so challenging me. Would I be comfortable with having these people even in my living room talking about Jesus? And I just want to challenge us as a church family to kind of stretch ourselves outside of our comfort zone, because there is people in Lancaster County, as many churches as there are, who don't know Jesus today. And some of us in this room, God's calling us to reach those people. There's people in this room who God's gifted you in your workplace, and they might never come to this building to see Jesus, but they see Jesus in your life. The theologian J.I. Packer says it best. He says, God's way of saving men is to send out his servants to tell them the gospel. And the church has charged to go into all the world for that very purpose. I love that. God's way of saving men is to send out his servants to tell them the gospel. And the church has been charged to go into all the world for that very purpose. That is our responsibility. That is our goal as a church, to bless our neighbors. It's not just a cute slogan that we have plastered on the wall and we talk about every Sunday. It is a command. It is a value that I believe God is challenging us as a church family to live out. I'm sure for the early disciples, this was uncomfortable. If you remember the story with the woman at the well, Jesus is there with this woman from Samaria, from the village of Sychar, and she is broken as broken can get, right? She is found in adultery. She is an outcast in her village. And so she's at this well with Jesus, and the disciples come back, and they ask Jesus this question. They say, Jesus, why are you here with this woman? Because they knew, number one, two things are odd. She's a Samaritan, and she's a woman, and she's alone with Jesus, who is a high priest and a rabbi. It's odd. He shouldn't be there. But Jesus was trying to set a model of saying, hey, our job as kingdom ambassadors is to go to those that don't look like us. And wouldn't you believe this woman became one of the first women evangelists in the Bible? She went back to Sychar. She brought the entire village to Jesus. The village has revival, all because Jesus says, I'm putting myself outside of my comfort zone. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was weary and tired from his journey. So there was some physical comfort that he had to overcome to reach her. Now, Joy Mennonite, who are the people in your life in this area who they're near us, but they're not like us? They would say, wow, like if you invited them over, there would be a learning curve. I tell our youth leaders all the time, but I encourage them. I said, guys, there's going to be students that come through these doors, and they're not going to know our language. And this is a value that we have as a youth ministry, that you will always belong at Common House Youth before you believe. Because I believe in that belonging, they sense the community and the family, and in that they find Jesus. What would it look like, church, if we just said, hey, we're going to gather people who don't look like us? We're going to reach people who don't look like us. I think our church would multiply. I think your faith would explode. I think we would see revival in our area. I think what prevents us a lot of times from going to places that don't look like us is not only does it make us uncomfortable, but it pushes us to really say, do I believe what I believe? Is Jesus as good as I say on Sunday in my everyday life? Because I'm telling you, the moment you encounter someone who's broken and lost, they're going to ask you difficult questions. This woman from Samaria, she has some questions for Jesus that were pretty challenging. And Jesus had some questions for her, vice versa, but his faith was real. Church, is your faith real? Preaching to myself, is my faith real that if I encounter someone who doesn't look like me, is my faith real enough to say, hey, I can answer the really hard questions? And if I don't know the answer, let's partner together to find the answer. I had a Christian friend of mine in Florida. He said this, and it stuck with me to this day because it just, from that moment on, I said, I don't want to live like this. But he says, it's not my job to go to people who don't look like me. Someone else will do that. And I was like, what? Do you read the gospel? Have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have you studied the words of Jesus? Do you know that he's with outcasts all the time? That he's with people who are near him but don't look like him, don't talk like him? What do you mean it's not your job? I think what he was getting at, I didn't press him any further. I didn't even want to argue with him. I just kind of moved on from the conversation. But I think what he was saying was, it's not my job as a churchgoer. It's the pastor's job. It's the evangelist's job. And I would just say, man, no, it's our job. Jesus, Matthew 28, commissions the church, us, to go and make disciples, not a pastor, not an evangelist, not a prophet, but the church, because the church is filled with those giftings to go and reach people who don't look like them. To bless our neighbors means to go to those that are culturally different than us, to spend a great deal of time with them and to study them. One of the things I spend a great deal of my time and energy doing is I stay on social media to kind of stay up with the trends, because I realize trends and movements are constantly going around. And for me to be an effective student pastor, I have to know what students are going through, the things they're getting trapped in, the lies that they're believing. And I would just say, as a church, we should culturally study culture to say, what are the cultural things right now that are trapping people? That we would be cultural architects who look at culture and say, these are some areas that I see where Jesus and his good news could come in and be the saving grace. Would we be a church that goes to people next to us who don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't talk like us? Lastly, number three, is far from me. to the ends of the earth, but you'll receive power. In fact, let's read this together as a church family, this last scripture. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. For the Apostle Paul, the ends of the earth look like Spain. I recently was doing a study on Paul, and Paul, after he is converted, you know, the gospel is kind of spread around Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and so now he's gone into Greece, and he's gone into Asia Minor, and for Paul, his last kind of trip was to get to Rome and Spain, especially Spain. He felt like that was where the ends of the earth were, and so Paul would partner with Phoebe and people like this who were patrons of Paul, and they supported Paul to advance the gospel in Rome, and from Rome it would move on to Spain. And I think for us, the ends of the earth are just that. I think as Anabaptists, as Mennonites, we do such a great job at reaching the ends of the earth. I think of missionaries out on the field right now. Pat and Amy Lay, they're in the 1040 window. They're in this region where the gospel really isn't present. I think of people like Jonathan Borman, who his love and desire to reach Muslims. I think of all these people that we support and go. Jerry Keener, who is just over in Asia. Like these places that the gospel is going and infecting those areas with the good news. And I think as a church family, I would just challenge us with this last one especially, that we would have the heart posture, if the Holy Spirit would lead us, maybe to go to those places. As I mentioned before, there's some trips coming up. I know Chanel Neff has a trip to that 1040 window of the world coming up next year. We've begun the early think through phases of going back to Bulgaria, bringing a team to Bulgaria to partner with Hadi and Pinka and the work they're doing over there with Muslim relations, and taking a team especially to do more outreach ministry to teens and to kids, because the church in Bulgaria just isn't reaching those people. And so that's in the planning works, maybe potentially next summer. We're looking at some dates. I know in 2 years our youth will be going back to Honduras to partner with Fido and Soul and the work they're doing there in Zambrano. And so there's opportunities, but those opportunities come with a cost. It comes with saying, hey, for a week, I'm going to be put outside my comfort zone. I say this all the time, but the first exposure to a mission trip, a foreign mission trip, was to Honduras. I'd never been on a foreign mission trip until Honduras a couple years ago. And I remember landing in that country thinking, this is a country that my soul has touched that I've never been before. And God, what do you want to do here? It was exciting. There's something about going on a trip to the ends of the earth that just brings excitement to the soul. It does something. Man, my life was changed forever. I'm sure for the students that went on that trip, their lives were changed forever. My life was changed forever on that trip. Because I got to see the church worship in a different country, and I got to see people who were far from Jesus come to know Jesus. Blessing our neighbors looks like going to people who look like us. It looks like going to people who don't look like us, and it means going to people who are far from us, to the ends of the earth. Would this be a church that always values going to the nations? There's something powerful about that. There's something that God blesses a church that says, you know what, I'm going to go outside of my own walls to the nations. And I would just say, if you're desiring maybe to go on a foreign mission trip, just fill out on a connection card today to say, hey, I don't know when, I'm still praying on it, but I would love to go on one of those trips, and we'll get you connected with our outreach team and when those trips come up. But let's be a church that, man, loves our neighbors well, that blesses our neighbors well, that says yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that says, you know what, it doesn't matter if my comfort zone is disrupted, I'm going to go. I want to end by asking a couple questions for us. Number one, if you haven't already filled out an all-in commitment card, the commitment card there is on the screen, and they're right down front here at this cross. The cross is filled with commitment cards. If you haven't done that, today is the last day. We're in this series. The series ends today. But that cross actually is going to remain up through the end of the year, just as a reminder for us as a church family that we're saying, hey, we're all in. We're all into these three commitments of enjoying God together, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. That's the first challenge I have for us. The second one is this. I want us to read the All In Prayer together as we get ready to close. Let's read this together. Lord Jesus, empower us to be an all in as a church family. During this season of new beginnings, help us to live together, reaching up, enjoying you, reaching in, loving each other, and reaching out, blessing our neighbors. Help us nurture an environment of belonging and becoming that builds us up and attracts our neighbors to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray over the preaching of this word that it wouldn't have gone on void ears and void hearts, Lord, that you would spark a revival spirit in all of us. Lord, that we would move outside of our own needs, our own comforts, and say there is neighbors all around us, some that look like us, some that don't look like us, some that are thousands of miles on the other side of the planet. So Lord, would we be a church that goes? Would it just be contagious in this place? Would stories start erupting every week of, hey, I invited my neighbor, I talked to my neighbor, invited a coworker. Lord, would this be a church that robs the gates of hell, that plunders the gates of hell for your kingdom? Lord, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done in this church as it is in heaven? We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Giving update is that we are still behind by $74,000. I don't know why you guys are trying to make me look bad. Being here is the pastor for this year. I'm just joking with you. So we're behind by $74,000, and this is our week, our last week, to meet our budget. And so I'm just going to pray a prayer to God that he will take whatever is given and that he will do like he did with the little boy's offering. He will break it, he will bless it, and he will multiply it. Amen?
Amen.
We thank you for your generosity to Mount Joy Mennonite Church and to the kingdom of God through Mount Joy Mennonite Church. And so whatever God has put in your heart to give, just give it, and let's all give it up to him. Let him break it, let him bless it, let him multiply it for his kingdom's glory and the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's just pray a prayer together. As we get ready to go this morning over our offering, Lord Jesus Christ,
We pray that you would take our tithes, our gifts, our offerings this morning, throughout the week, whenever we give them, however we give them, whether we give them in person or we do that electronically through the internet or we write out a check, however we remember that all we've needed your hand has provided, great is your faithfulness to us, Lord. However we do that, take every last one of them and break them and bless those tithes, gifts, and offerings and multiply them like you did the bread and the fish to feed many and help many come into the kingdom of God and to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, do that today, and we ask that we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to see you next week, we hope, and we hope you take a couple minutes to enjoy some coffee and some conversation and one of our Next Steps groups. Thank you for coming this morning. You're free to go.
High five. Really? Thanks, babe. I always feel like I'm, like on Sundays, I preach on the same thing for some reason, you know?